I'm the one that actually created the eSport landscape within IBM. But George at the time was the senior in the game space. We found each other by accident, pure accident.
You're listening to the Humans at Game podcast. This week, I had the privilege of talking to the Chief Technology Officer of Esports and Video Games at IBM. Just a really, really interesting conversation, really dope dude. I had the privilege of actually sitting down with him, I believe last year, maybe early last year. And we just talked about esports and video games and like where it's headed and what they could be doing better. And just really interesting conversation. He's one of those people that you sit down and talk to and it's like, damn, he's too smart. I don't understand anything that he's saying, but I feel smarter because I'm talking to him. So just a really good conversation then and really good conversation for this as well. And I know the people listening, I know all of you will get value out of it as well. We did dig deep into, okay, how he got started and how his position evolved, but also like how everyday people can get involved into esports and how you can make a career for yourself in esports and just where it's headed as a whole. So just really good conversation. I'll actually be heading back to my hometown, Twin Cities, to where the inaugural Call of Duty tournament. Bill will be there, so I'm going to get to link up with him in person again as well. But a lot of people will be there, and I'm super excited about it because people keep throwing me connections and connecting me to people like, hey, connect with this team, connect with this owner, connect with this person. So it's just been really cool. Everybody's been super inviting, and I'm excited to go back to my hometown as well, and I'm excited to see just how things have changed there because I know the esports ecosystem there it's a lot further than the city that I'm in now, Milwaukee. So I'm just excited about the changes and excited to make more connections and get more people on the podcast. But as always, if you guys could leave the reviews on iTunes, any feedback, all of that, that allows me to just keep pursuing my passion, keep building this show and talking to amazing people and in turn bringing value to all of you. So just thank you so much for tuning into this week. And I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did recording it.
Yeah, so you live in the dream, man, talking about video games and esports. Everybody's dream, at least my dream, I don't know.
Yeah,
legit. I appreciate you hopping on, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, excellent. And how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, man. Business is going phenomenal. Like, this is the best quarter we've had. I'm sorry, this is the best year we've had, and we're only in quarter one, so it's been really good. Bringing on some new people full time. And this podcast has been good too, man. Just growing really fast, getting to talk to a lot of awesome people, which is incredible. But I'm good. I'm happy.
Excellent. Well, good to hear. We do have to catch up when you're out here.
We do, man. I'm excited to come down to Minnesota. I'm excited for the COD tournament. I've been talking about it for like freaking months, man.
Let's share some of the love. Share the love.
Yeah, man, I'm excited, but I appreciate you coming on, man. I'm super excited to dive in. Just more of your story, more of what you're working on, and just like your beliefs as a whole and where you think the industry is going.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, got a lot of exciting things to talk about here in the esport landscape right now.
What are you excited about most right now?
Well, I'm really excited about looking at some of these cool technologies and how they're applying. You know, my company, you know, sends me to work to play games, if you can believe it.
Living the freaking dream.
So I've been doing a lot of, you know, work in the, you know, cognitive and AI and machine learning in the game space, you know, helping things with like shoutcasters and team training, you know, looking at some new arena and sport designs for the new arena landscape coming up here for esports. Doing a lot of work with broadcasting and also looking at the big one too is the mobile esports, right? Mobile gaming esports, just kicking right now. So in that space, I've been doing a lot of work with 5G and application developers around the world of, you know, mobile gaming and getting the landscape ready for that explosion around mobile gaming, which is now happening. You know, looking at the different technologies to really make an esports experience really, really, you know, sizzle, if you will.
Yeah, you say a lot in there that I really want to dive into. actually everything you said in there I want to dive into, but first, like AI, like what is that? What do you think? What does that actually like look like from a gaming and esports perspective? Like how can that make the industry better? How is that going to improve upon the industry?
Well, you think about the esports world is a community, right? So if we think about what do people do in this? It's a very organic community. If you look back at some of the days that back in what they call the GG days, right? So we're looking at LAN parties and people starting to chat and talk with each other. And as the landscape, really, really blossomed, people want to figure out how to do different things and new things in esports. And one of the things that I've been doing, which is very exciting, is connecting the esport community through cognitive and AI. So kind of what that means in English is you look at things that go on, like people are talking, they're in the chat rooms, people are really connecting online. We can analyze what's going on in gameplay. For example, is game fun? Or what are people talking about? What's something that's very, salient or sentimental to me as a viewer or someone as a player? What are some ways I can improve my skill strengths using cognitive and AI? So the cool part about that is, like you and I, Q, right now we're having a discussion, right? So I can understand your tone, sentiment. Are we being sarcastic? Are we joking, having fun? And those are the very same things which I can dive into this very, digitally explosive world of esports and tap into and discover what are they doing? What are they talking about? What are people playing? For example, if I'm at a large event, there might be 6 or 7 major games going on at once. And all my people say, hey, you got to come over here to this Rocket League game over here in Hall 5 because it's kicking right now. So those are some of the ways that we're really connecting folks, using, the magic of cognitive and AI to help people connect, help them understand, help them explore, look at new ideas. It's a way they can actually connect in the game space without interfering with the actual game itself, which is very cool.
Yeah. Dude, that's so fascinating. I'm reading a book right now, or I just finished a book. It's called Thinking in Bets, and it's written by like this professional poker game. She kind of explains how a lot of people view life as chess, but it's more like poker, like chess, like you make a good decision. Yeah, that was a good decision. Cool. Good move, smart play. Whereas poker, there's a lot more chance. And I was talking to this, he used to be a competitor, like competitive Dota 2 player. Now he owns like a gaming lounge. He was on a previous episode. He's like, I used to be a Dota 2 player. And a lot of people that want to get good at the game, they just look at the decisions that they made like right before they made a mistake or right before they did something good. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times it's like the snowball effect. And maybe you had a bad play because of something you did like minutes ago, So I'd love to see like AI and just like analyzing gameplay. I think that'd be very, very cool just from an improving on your gameplay standpoint.
Yeah, there's multiple ways you can do that. So think about that. So, whenever something happens in a game, there's a small little nuance, which sometimes, the human eye can't apparently pick up, but nuances you can pick up in AI and machine learning that something's going to happen. Like, for example, if I'm going to throw a spell on one of my opponents, something's going to happen on that screen. Or if time to raise a shield, something's going to happen. So what we do is we essentially train the AI and the cognitive tool to understand the game, and then it's looking for those nuances that are going to happen. Like you just hit on, right? For example, if I did something really goofy that made me lose a point or something, the AI can say, hey, this and this is going to happen. So then becomes almost like an automated training tool, which you can offer to a coach or a team versus going through hours and hours and hours of streams and data runs trying to find out what happened. You can also do some other magic in there too. Like for example, maybe you want to bring in the chat of the actual team, right? So if they're on the stage, communicating, you look at things like, are they communicating enough? Are they communicating too much or not enough at all? And then your AI or coach can actually be a third coach, if you will, kind of tapping you on the shoulder, say, look for this or look for that. And you can really do some very cool things automated. So versus having to spend hours and hours of watching, Monday morning quarterbacking, so to speak.
I love that. I think it segues nice into the next point. You wrote an article that was titled "How Esports Are Fueling the Data Economy," and I love that. But can you talk just a little bit about like what that actually looks like?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So again, you hit it on the head. So esports is a digitally native explosive landscape. There's so much rich data that goes on in the world of esports. You know, many of us may not be aware of it, but a lot of it that goes on is almost that human or that cognitive element of data that's available in esports. So the way that's fueling that is that, hey, as a new, maybe I'm a new business in esports, or maybe I'm a long-term publisher in esports. You know, I want to understand, you know, what are people doing? So things such as I want to tap into the community. I want to tap into chat rooms. I want to see the streams or broadcasts. Maybe there's something very salient going on in the game, which I can capture real time and push out, you know, kind of like as a short clip or real time clip or some kind of short. Maybe I want to offer a storyline to a shoutcaster or something to an analyst so she or he can really engage with the audience. Because as you know, Q, a lot of people that are watching esports may not even play the game right now, right? But they love the storyline and they love the drama that goes on in esports. And by, you know, tapping into this very digitally explosive landscape, that's where it becomes fun. That's where it becomes the real.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You said something else in there that I really resonated with. I mean, it was essentially just about how esports as a whole can get kids more interested in pursuing technology or technical careers, mm-hmm. technical education.
Right.
And I've been like kind of fighting the argument that, yo, video games are bad for like my entire life. You know, like I even argue with parents about it a lot. But I love that you mentioned that because it's like it's a perfect gateway. You know, like people want their kids to code. People want their kids to get this technical education, but they don't realize that by showing them something that they're already interested in, like this is what code can actually do. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what you can actually do with this skill. You know, you can create a video game.
That's
I think
right.
It's a great segue, dude. But I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because, you know, there's a number of ways that schools and city leaders and others are looking at esports. They're seeing it's not no longer just strictly entertainment, you know, because there's a lot that can go on in that landscape. So if we're talking about things like STEM or cloud or AI technology, you know, think about it. 90% of developers are gamers in some fashion, right? We like to create something, break it, or succeed very quickly. And we like to kind of push the envelope. And so when we're talking about esports and official accreditation in high schools and colleges, many of those conversations are very solid and are now going fast forward, right? Because you think about a city leader, you'll think about a government leader, someone that wants to say, hey, I want to educate my youth. I want to bring them into the economy. I want to do some real cool things. Not only have them game play, but let's look at some ways that they can use, you know, data science or different ways or math or STEM tracks to really engage in this game and esports landscape big time.
Yeah. Dude, talk to me about your day-to-day a bit, because I guess we kind of just jumped into this, which is awesome. I love all of that. But talk to me about your day-to-day, because you're working on so many different things.
So day-to-day, there is no average day. No, seriously, it's very exciting because the way that we can use, you know, both business and technology to impact the game space. So think about it, you know, think about ways that we can, like, for example, I'll get up one morning and they'll say, hey, we need to look at some way to engage in the arena. I want to build a new arena or new stadium design. How can I engage my audience or, you know, keep, you know, as they say, butts in seats or keep people engaged? I could be watching a game in the arena, but maybe watching another game in Cologne, Germany at the same time. So it's a very digitally conscious environment, right? So that might be one day. The next day, they maybe say, hey, I need to solve some analytics. How do I understand the broadcast, what's going on in the broadcast or some of the touch points? How do I connect with my Dota 2 community versus a League of Legends community? Because each, you know, community is different in itself. So every day as I wake up, it's very interesting. In fact, I use a calendar sometimes I don't, because I can just say, hey, this person's going to contact me. This country may contact me. This division of this business may contact me. Because I'm dealing with a lot of very non-traditional or what they call non-endemic esport companies now. So you think about all the major suppliers, or you think about an insurance company. I'm sure you've seen the funny ones from either Geico or State Farm or others, right?
Yeah.
And so I can be dealing with a very non-traditional or what we call non-endemic esport company one day, or I can be dealing with a very traditional publisher the very next day. So each day is very exciting to you.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds exciting. And how did you like get into this position? Because your title, if correct me if I'm wrong, but it's CTO of esports and video games at IBM.
Yeah, very good question. So
what does that even mean?
In English.
yes, please in English.
So going way back when is that IBM actually found me. I was an independent, game and product designer and architect, prior to my IBM career starting. And IBM said, hey, come on over and join us here, because they like to see, they like what they're seeing, the work I was doing. So I joined IBM. It'll be 10 years in August coming up here.
Congrats.
Woohoo! Very exciting. And by chance, a good friend of mine who is now retired, his name is George Dolbier. He was the former CTO of esports. Actually, he was a former CTO of IBM Games and Digital Media. I'm the one that actually created the esport landscape within IBM. But George at the time was the senior in the game space. We found each other by accident, pure accident, and we started to kind of carve up the role in the sense of looking at different ways to engage in games. And I kind of naturally assumed the esport space. I think reason being is because a lot of the esport teams and groups and clients, all really meshed with me very organically, right? So yeah, it just fit. And then I kind of took over the role once George officially retired, and just been leading the charge here. And a couple of years ago, IBM learned how to spell esports, which was awesome. Now, is it a capital E or is it a small E?
Dude, I went down the rabbit hole when I first started. I was like, wait, what?
And then did you pull out the old Wikipedia or the Britannica?
I pulled out everything, man.
But it's funny. You see the discussions fly back and forth between the officials and the new people and the old GGers that come on.
Oh, yeah, dude. People get mad, dude.
that's kind of how I got started and just been really blessed with that. And going to major events, doing a lot of keynote talks. It's very exciting when I get a chance to meet with, official government or city leaders. I've met with many, presidents and prime ministers in my past, talking about games and esports. Because many of them see the value of using the STEM and the cloud and AI. That's very evident in the game space, and wanting to connect their community, their youth for education and other aspects around the world. So that's the very exciting part about my job is, the fact that I do wear the IBM blue badge and being a gamer at the same time, being able to connect and educate and tell those stories and, really connect. I'm very, very humbled and very blessed to be in this arena right now.
Yeah, dude. You're doing an incredible job too, and it's cool that you created that job for yourself, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. You had a line in there, in that article that we mentioned previously, that said the combined online audience for esports, according to Goldman Sachs, is larger than HBO, Netflix, and ESPN combined. Mm-hmm. All of which is why the $10 billion industry is estimated to reach $24 billion by 2024. That is insane.
Yeah.
Can you just paint a mental picture for the listeners? Like, what is that actually going to look like in 2024?
Yeah, and I'm suspecting that's a low estimate too that I gave, because if you think about it, there's all the different, touch points that go into an esport ecosystem, right? So you think about, very simple things like ticket sales or, entry points. So right as we're buying our ticket here for the Call of Duty League weekend that's coming up here, all those entry points. And then you have the, what I call the hidden things too, that might be going on, such as the actual people online. So they may be watching at home to watch the weekend, or they may be at a different environment. They may be at a different event in their country at the same time. So maybe their country's having a huge Call of Duty weekend, for example, like in São Paulo in Brazil. I'll give that as an example, right? So all those local things that are happening for the individual Call of Duty communities or other game communities are things that also impact local dollars and local communities at the same time. So you have these event going on in City A, but then you have City B through Z that's celebrating that event, and their environments is another, you know, positive impact that, you know, hits that dollar amount or that economic amount, if you will. And then other things that people are getting engaged, they're talking, they're chatting, they're on the chat rooms, right? They're either on ESPN, they're on Maestro, they're on Twitch, they're on Facebook, they're on Yahoo. So all of those, what I call third tier entry points, are also engaging and adding to part of the economy. So you can just kind of see how that kind of tree webs out, right, Q, as you think about all the different touch points or lifestyle impacts that has on the environment.
Yeah, a big pushback that I see, at least a common like argument that I see is like, yeah, esports are cool, resonating with kids, but will people my age is what I hear. So like the 30 plus, you know, will they ever consume esports? Will they ever watch somebody click a mouse? Will they ever watch someone push buttons on a controller? Will that ever happen? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. So I got a good comeback for that one, which might surprise and make a lot of listeners happy too, is that you think about it, it's like close to 45 to 55% of mobile Fortnite players are now women that are engaging in the landscape. So you think about all the, you know, the traditional or the non-traditional historic pictures or memes you may have seen about esports, about someone sitting in their basement. Those are long gone, right?
Yeah.
You have like people playing in professional malls or different event centers or different, you know, collaboration centers. Like, for example, I'll give eBlue as a good example. You know, eBlue has exploded in China, and now eBlue is coming to North America, you know, with their different arenas or different setups or different types of esport designs to really include the community in that. You have major malls saying, hey, we can now fill our empty mall space with these esports center, and they're packing them in, bringing those folks in. So a lot of those different, you know, traditional and non-traditional views are really having an impact on the local community in that aspect. So that would be a good one. I would respond back to your peoples about, you know what I'm saying?
How would you say we can overcome, like, let's just take like Overwatch, for example. Like you look at like something like basketball, right? Like it's not overly confusing, right? Like you throw a ball on the hoop, and like that's it, right? Like, of course, there's points, there's fouls, there's like technicals, things like that, timeouts, like all that stuff. But you take Overwatch and it's just very, very confusing to the eye. Like how would you suggest that people that maybe they're not overly familiar with games like that or even esports in general or video games in general, how would you suggest that they take that first step in understanding how the game is played or how these games are played?
Yeah, good question. There's a number of ways I would really enjoy talking about this. You know, one way is, you know, we hit on it just a touch earlier. We're talking about providing, you know, storylines or information to, you know, shoutcasters. So those that may be listening here, you know, shoutcasters are the one that do the play-by-play in the world of esports. You know, very similar to the traditional, you know, Madden of the yesteryear. So if we're talking about the shoutcaster, you know, the famous shoutcasters out there that do play-by-play, you know, they have a very important job, because you hit it on the head here, Q, is because a lot of people that are watching, for example, Overwatch, may not play the game, but they love the storyline, they may know what's going on, which draws them into the game environment. Yeah. And then the shoutcaster and analyst has a job to explain that. You know, what are we talking about? What's going on in the storyline? What are some historical? So a couple ways, for example, from my end, as a technologist, is I can help that shoutcaster provide almost a better or exemplified story to the audience so they can understand not only, you know, the play-by-play, what's going on the screen, but let's tie in some storyline to some of the characters. Let's talk about some of the game heroes that are playing right now. Let's talk about some of the teams out there, like whether it's the Fusion, maybe it's the Dallas Fuel, maybe it's Atlanta Reign, because each of those teams have different, you know, what I call genres or brands that follow them too. And they have their own fans. You know, you got your Houston fans, your Dallas fans, your Philadelphia fans, and they all want to be tell their story, right? So that's a good way that people can really connect to the game, is connect with the community, you know, chat with people, because many of these shoutcasters have their own blogs or their own feeds themselves. and they enjoy talking to the community and connecting with the community. So take advantage of that too. You know, connect with your shoutcaster of choice per se, right? Or connect with your player of choice. Oh, I'll tell you a fun story. If you want to hear this one, Q, it's kind of interesting. So here I am, you know, very professional, you know, / esporter IBMer. And I have my chance, my very first chance to meet Scarlett back in the day. I'm like, holy cow, holy cow, holy cow. Pinch me, right? and lo and behold, professional Bill / IBMer, I stumbled around like an eighth grader, right? Blah, 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 blah. You know, What do I say?
When did you say this was?
Oh, this is about 4 years ago. This is about four years ago. I had a chance to meet Scarlett, introduced to her. And I was like, you know, she's like my biggest hero, like someone like meeting like Bono from U2, right? And long story short, it took me almost a half an hour to form sentences and verbs.
Dude, that's amazing.
Oh, man. I never felt so embarrassed in my whole – it was just awesomely embarrassing.
I mean, you did it, though. 30 minutes later, you did it.
That's funny. Yeah, that's kind of fun.
That's how I rarely do I ever feel like that, but that's kind of how I felt when I met Gary Vee for the first time. Like, knees shaking. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, what is going on with me? Like, why am I feeling this way? I've never felt this way. But, like, I think it goes back to what you just said, man. Like, it's like your biggest hero, you know? Like, you remember the time where it's like, damn, like, I watched you play X, or I remember when you impacted my business, you know? Like, that had a positive influence on you. But yeah. I love that, man. And speaking of Gary, I'm just a Minnesota rocker. I know you had a meeting with him recently. I was scrolling through your LinkedIn, but I'm going to see you at the inaugural card tournament, which I'm super excited about. But can you talk to me just a little bit about, like, Call of Duty? I'm not sure how familiar you are with all of this, but I'm assuming you're you, so you know everything about everything. But can you talk to me about just why hasn't COD had, like, picked up the same amount of steam or had the same amount of success as, like, Overwatch or League or Counter-Strike or any of those things? And, like, what are you expecting to see from them in the future?
Yeah. It's a good question. So think about it. So things like Call of Duty and CSGO, they're called what I would call they're very, very easy for people to learn and understand, right? Not too complex, but still very exciting to watch. And I think that's why it's caught on so well, is because the as more and more people are engaging, they're trying to find, hey, what esport game should I watch? Which one should I follow? You know, things like Call of Duty and CSGO are very, you know, easy to consume, so to speak, you know, and may not require as much explanation as something like Overwatch, which is still very exciting. Yeah. But the simplicity of those that can tie to it and understand it, you know, goes back to history. It kind of understands, you know, we in this world understand different nuances that go on in that game. You know, it'd be very similar to, for example, if I went to a FIFA game, right, or I went to a Madden game. So again, very easy to connect to, very easy to engage with. I think that's why it's really, really blossomed, you know, as people are trying to discover, you know, what's my next esport game I want to watch and follow. So that's my gut check on it, and that's kind of my read. And that's why I really enjoy sometimes having the simpler, like the old school GGs, come out and play. And that's the key to that.
In the future, do you think it'll be more of those games that are easy to understand that are succeeding there at the top? Or is it going to be more like fantasy, more completely new concepts that people are following?
You know, I think it's honestly going to be a mixture of both. So here's my take. So I think some of the old school games are going to still be very powerful because as our nation matures, which will happen. So a lot of us that grew up on different games and a lot of us from the younger generation that grew up on these games, they're going to grow up with their product or their desire. So as, for example, if I grew up on CSGO, if I grew up on Call of Duty, I am going to continue with that way past my 50s, right? Or if I grew up, maybe I grew up on Overwatch. Maybe I grew up on League of Legends. So those are something that I grew up with. Those are my, you know, I have my League of Legends on my toys. I have my sweatshirts, all my gear that got at different events. So those are going to be your new traditional thing that grows forward. So I think it really depends on kind of what age group you jumped into, when you grabbed it, when it seemed exciting to you. And of course, there's probably one thing you've seen too, is that A lot of the youngsters now are educating their parents, right? So it's kind of a reverse trend now. So a lot of parents are finding time to spend, you know, with their youngsters at home to say, hey, I want to, what's this game? What's this about? Talk to me about it, right? So in some cases, you know, when I'm not working, which is not too often, but in some cases I go out and mentor in the community, in different communities I work in. So I'll go out and mentor some youngsters and talk with their parents and, you know, talk about school and P-Tech and games and, you know, all the positive impact that that game has on the world, including education, which is very key. And it's kind of fun when I can tie in things like math to games. They're like, what? Math? What? Wait, listen to me. And it really encourages folks to stay in school and continue on when they can see something that they can relate to and grab onto, which will keep them very pumped up to stay in school and learn some things.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I love that. I think even from my perspective on the business end, like I was always a terrible student, especially math, especially science. But once I realized like, wow, we need to make $1 million. Oh, well, my close rate is this. So I just need to get this many meetings and I'll make $1 million. Like, it's like, you know? Like, damn, that's kind of cool. So like totally for the kids. And as far as like the video game thing, like I feel like that with my girlfriend, you know, like she shows a genuine interest. Like, what is this game? What's this? You know, it's really cool just seeing people that, yep, maybe weren't gamers ever or didn't have that background at all, just be interested in it and see this industry evolve and continue to grow and reach more people. So I love that. Who's your favorite Call of Duty team right now?
Oh, wow. I ain't getting in trouble with this one.
Yeah, don't betray Minnesota, man.
Can you just kind of bleep over the section?
Yeah. Just
dark. Oh, there it is.
All right, good. We don't need an answer. I won't keep you for too much longer, but I know you did just have a meeting with a rocker. I don't need all the details, but is there anything you can divulge from that meeting? Like what's coming next for them?
Well, I think the big ones here is the city and the city of Minneapolis in particular, and the community impact on that, and the what I call the non-traditional media is coming out of the woodwork, so to speak, to talk about this and really, you know, showcase this, which is very exciting. Because traditionally, I'm saying traditionally now, this doesn't apply to everybody, but something like, you know, for example, you know, Minnesota has been a very steady state, so to speak, very traditional, and having something like this is really, really in an exciting way, opening people's eyes and looking at different ways to impact the community and all the different, you know, teams, including the Rocker and some of the different types of products in Minneapolis are now saying, hey, how can we all tie into each other? How can we all attract? You know, for example, how can the Timberwolves and NBA 2K do this? Or how can the Minnesota Twins do this in games? Now that we got the Vikings engaged, you know, with the Call of Duty League. That's very exciting, right? Because that breaks down, you know, the traditional barriers and allows other people to engage in the conversation and feel more comfortable to talk about it. Because now it's not the, oh, it's esports. You know what I'm saying?
A previous episode, Jonas was, Jonas based out of the UK, he said, once people get over like the association they have with, oh, this player just did a, he hit a button and it did an action. And they aren't associating like the game with someone clicking a button, but it's just, hey, this player did that something. It's going to change a lot of things. And I think a lot of that starts with just like these big names, big teams, organizations just backing esports. Like it's really cool to see Gary talking about it. Because he never really has. And I was talking to a buddy like 8 years ago. I'm like, dude, like esports is going to be a thing. Like just mark my word. He's like, yeah, fuck you, whatever. And then like a couple weeks ago, he's like, have you seen this? Gary Vee's doing this. And I'm like, damn, man, I told you about this 8 years ago. But whatever, you know, it's really cool to see it. And lastly, man, just because I know a lot of the listeners are curious, like what advice would you give to someone that's looking to get into esports?
Oh, yeah. This is a cool one because, you know, we've been hitting the head here a lot talking about education and, you know, staying in school. So not to sound preachy, but look at some of the cool things that go on in a game. Look at how the physics happen in the gameplay, or look at how the different things react to the gameplay. Mm-hmm. That's one very powerful angle. The other angle is to get involved in, like, local meetups in your neighborhood. So, for example, you know, Kansas City has just been exploding with different esport meetups and different groups coming together. You look at the different, what I call non-traditionals, like St. Louis, Kansas City, Salt Lake City, other areas. You know, even look at Madison, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, for example, right? So all these non-traditionals are now blossoming because, you know, people are getting together. They're doing their own get-together, like LAN parties and other events. They're doing their meetups and other blogs. And then that ties into something bigger, right? Because people start to notice their peers. Like sometimes some of the top esport players may not want to get known per se, but then they'll be outed. They'll be outed by their buddies. They're like, hey, you got to check out this dude here on Rocket League over here, just kicking it. Or check out the girl over here playing Dota 2, man. And just the way that the community just kind of outs each other. And that's a great way to really get part of it. So, you know, stay concurrent. Stay current with your friends. Stay concurrent with, you know, what goes on in meetups in your community. Also, take a look at some of the publishers' blogs, because sometimes the publishers will bring community or local events together for you in your neighborhood as well. So those are all great, real great sources to stay connected, stay contacted, and stay involved in the world of esports.
I love that, man. I love that answer. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. And lastly, I know I said lastly already, but one more time, lastly, where can people learn more about you? Where can they keep up with your updates?
Oh, definitely. So LinkedIn is one of my big places you'll see. Also, if you want to, if folks want to do, they can just simply Google my name and put in the word esports. And I have a lot of videos and blogs and other publications are up online. So just simply Google my name, put in the word esports, or check me out on LinkedIn, send me an invite, and we can connect on there as well. And you'll find me at a lot of the different events around too. So that's a great
Single event, literally everyone. Dope, man. I appreciate you coming on. I'm excited to catch up in Minnesota this weekend.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Just wanted to give a massive shout out again for listening to this episode of the Humans That Game podcast. I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and I'm super excited about the Call of Duty tournament this weekend. I will be there. So if you are there, shoot me a message on social media. I would love to link up. And as always, I appreciate any reviews, any feedback that you have for me. Feel free to shoot that to me. And if you are going to be in Minnesota for the event, definitely shoot me a message. I would love to link up. I'd love to chat anything video games, anything esports. I will see you next time, and I will see you in the next episode.